Today's episode explores the inspiring journey of Abraham, a man called out of comfort and into a life of faith. But let's be real, Abraham's life was anything but smooth sailing. He faced uncertainties and unexpected challenges. Today, you'll discover how God called Abraham to leave everything he knew, his family, his security, his home, with no map or detailed plan. Abraham obeyed and journeyed into the unknown. You can trust God as well.
Now, as we introduce today the life of Abraham, I want you to know I don't plan on making him into some kind of spiritual superstar. Frankly, we already have too many superstars and not enough servants. Besides, the real hero we're going to discover is not Abraham, but Abraham's great and gracious God. Now, Abraham is introduced to us here in Genesis 11 as Abram, and he's married to Sarai, as she's called here, and he has a nephew named Lot. They're all living in Ur, which is in modern-day Iraq. Now, when we first meet Abram here, he's 75 years old. God captures his heart and reveals to him the role he's going to play in fulfilling God's promise. This is the promise made to Adam and Eve of a coming seed, a coming redeemer. Well, this seed is going to come from the family line of Abram and Sarai, who, as we'll learn later, have not been able to have any children their entire marriage. Well, here in chapter 12, the call of Abram takes place while he's still in Ur before going to Haran. Acts chapter 7, verse 2 tells us. The Lord is going to give some commands. He's going to make some promises to Abram. In fact, in verse 1, we read this. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred. Now this is a command to leave his place of stability and security. His hometown was a spiritual desert, God commanded him to leave. But this was the place of his extended family and circle of friends and business associates. So God is saying here, Abram, I want you to leave everything you've ever known. Leave the security of everything that's familiar, and don't stop until I tell you. And with that, the Lord makes some additional promises to Abram. The first promise relates to Abram's promotion. Verse 2, God says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. See, Abram is to obey God, and God's going to do all the rest. Promotion comes neither from the east nor the west, but from God, Psalm 75 tells us. From Abram, God is going to make a great nation. It's the nation Israel. The second promise relates to Abram's protection. In verse 3, God says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. Now, history has proven over and over again that God has protected the nation that came from Abram. You've never once met a member of the Philistine nation. You've never met a Hittite. You've never met a Canaanite. Those nations don't exist anymore. But you've probably met someone from the Israelite nation. That's the amazing part of God keeping his promises. God's promises relate to Abram's promotion and his protection, and now the Lord adds a third promise that relates to Abram's prominence. Over here in verse 3, the Lord says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So the Lord is telling Abram that the Redeemer who will bless the earth is going to descend from him. And we're told that Abram responds in faith here in verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. So here he is, 75 years of age, following his father's death in Haran. Abram takes his wife and his nephew Lot and starts traveling, not knowing where the Lord will take him. How's that for a life of faith? After traveling, by the way, for 500 miles, he arrives in the land of Canaan, and the Lord says to him in chapter 12 and verse 7, to your offspring, I will give this land. In other words, this is your homeland, Abram. This is the promised land. And we read that Abram then built there an altar to the Lord. Now, Abram moves from there to a mountain between Bethel and Ai. It's the highest point in that region, and he can literally see the land the Lord has promised to give him and his descendants forever. He builds another altar and calls upon the Lord. You see, he's worshiping the true and living God. Abram then leaves this mountain. Verse 10 tells us that a famine arises in the land, and after all these promises and all these provisions and worship services, you'd think Abram would trust God to take care of him. No, instead he decides to depend on Egypt, and he takes off for the land of Egypt. Now, as Abram and Sarai approach Egypt, he starts worrying because he's got a beautiful wife. She probably rolls her eyes, but they do agree that she will be introduced as his sister. And what they're afraid of actually takes place. Verse 14 says, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. They praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. She's going to become one more concubine in Pharaoh's harem. Well, now what? Well, God steps in, strikes Pharaoh's house with a plague, and he connects the dots and sends Abram with Sarai out of his country. And here in chapter 13, a rather humiliated Abram travels back. Verse 3 says, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, to the place where he had made an altar, and there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. You know, beloved, there's nothing sweeter than getting back to that place of fellowship with your gracious, faithful God, and that's what's happening here. The Bible now shifts our attention to Abram's nephew. We're told here in chapter 13 in verses 5 and 6 that Lot's flocks and herds have multiplied, and there's not enough pasture to allow Lot and Abram to stay together. So Abram graciously offers Lot his choice of the land, and here in verses 10 to 11, Lot chooses the best land, the well-watered plain of the Jordan, the land bordering the Canaanite cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot dwells near Sodom, whose inhabitants are described here in verse 13 as great sinners against the Lord. So Lot might have chosen fertile land in a region, but he chose land where people lived that had no interest in God. Now, perhaps to encourage Abram's faith, the Lord speaks to him again here in verse 14. Lift up your eyes and look, for all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land. I will give it to you. And with that, Abram builds another altar and holds another worship service. Now, it isn't all sunshine and worship services, by the way. Chapter 14 records the invasion of four kings who fight with the kings in the region of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they win the battle, and they also take Lot prisoner. Uncle Abram doesn't waste any time, verse 14 says. He led forth his trained men and went in pursuit. The Hebrew word for led here has to do with wielding a sword. Well, evidently, Abram must have taken sword fighting in college. He's good at it. He and his men defeat these kings and free all the captives. Now, as Abram is returning home, chapter 14, down here at verse 18, tells us that Melchizedek, the king of Salem, a city later named Jerusalem, comes out to greet him. Melchizedek is a priest of Jehovah, and he gives Abram food and pronounces a blessing on him, and Abram gives this king and priest a share of his spoils out of respect and admiration. Melchizedek appears and then disappears suddenly in Scripture. He's going to be presented later on in Hebrews 7 as a picture of Christ, our high priest and king. So in these few chapters, Abram's faith has had its ups and downs, to say the least. He might have wavered back there in Egypt, but now he's standing for what's right and godly. My friend, I don't know what your battle is today, but I know your life isn't all sunshine and worship services either. Maybe God is leading you from a place of security and stability and family and friends. Well, you can rest in knowing He's worthy of your trust. He's going to keep His promises to you, just like He'll keep them to Abram and Sarai. Well, until our next study together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Well, if Abraham's life shows us anything, it certainly shows us that faith has its ups and downs. But God's faithfulness, however, is constant. That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Stephen called today's lesson, Father Abraham. Stephen, I see that you have a letter from one of our listeners today.
Yeah, it's great to join you in the studio today, Scott, and I have a number of responses from people, and just your comments made me look at this particular list of comments, because we hear from people who are facing difficult times. And in fact, I wrote in the margin here the word hopeless and how the ministry's helped. Like David, who writes from Nebraska, your teaching on the life of Joseph taught me how to trust God's plan even when life seems unfair. I was falsely accused at work and lost my job. It felt like my life was falling apart, but your messages reminded me that God's timing is perfect. So, like Joseph, I waited and prayed. 6 months later, I received a new job offer that was better than I could have imagined, and I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God. Ahmed writes from California. Along similar lines, your ministry came into my life when I felt hopeless. I listened to your podcast, but did not tell my family or friends. I feared how others might react to my interest in Christianity. The teaching on John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, helped me see that Jesus is the only path to God. I've since become a follower of Christ. I found a small group of believers, and your ministry helped give me the courage to embrace the truth even when it wasn't easy. What an amazing Scott, more than likely coming from a Muslim background, who now is a follower of Christ with great courage in trusting the Lord.
Thank you so much, both of you, David and Ahmed, for taking the time to write to us. Friend, we would love to hear from you. And you can send Stephen a note if you address it to info@wisdomonline.org. You can send your email anytime to info@wisdomonline.org. We'll be back again next time with another leg of this wisdom journey. So please come back and join us then.